And I'm Tolly.
And welcome to Wicked Within. This week we have another paranormal episode, and we are going to be, I think you're going to be very happy about this, because we're going to Wales.
Wales?
Yeah. So
the Welsh?
Yes.
Oh, Welsh? Yes.
You got it right. Yeah. So a very, very long recorded history to choose from, which we will be getting into today. I will say, just as like, you know, I just want a disclaimer that I don't know how familiar you are with the Welsh language, but it is insane to people who speak English.
I have heard like a snippet of it, and I was like, this is literal gibberish.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Have you, so.
Or like Sim language. I don't even play The Sims, but I know Simlish is like a ridiculous language. Similes. I don't know. Whatever language The Sims talk is ridiculous. And that's what I imagine Welsh people sounding like.
There is a city in Wales that has the longest European like city or town name. It is 58 letters long.
What?
And at one point in the word, there are four L's right next to each other in a row.
What does that sound like?
I'm really glad that you asked that. I'm going to find a clip of somebody saying it because it's entertaining. So this man who is saying this is a weatherman.
A weatherman?
Yes. So, and he is saying it correctly as far as I understand.
Contrast in temperature across the UK, just 12 degrees over coastal parts of eastern England with cloudy skies, but in the sunshine in northwest Wales at RAF Mona, just up the road from Llanfair Pwllgwyng, Llgogerth Gwyndrobwch, Llantysilio Gogogoch, the temperature got to 21 Celsius at 70 in Fahrenheit.
You can't convince me that's not Sim language.
It is. I mean, I have a lot of appreciation for it because it is so complex, and I think that the thing is that you just don't expect to see like letters that you're familiar with put in that order and then make different sounds from it. Yeah. The gal who played Galadriel in Rings of Power, her name is Morfinn. She's Welsh, and she said the Welsh alphabet on Stephen Colbert, and I might have to find. Okay, here she is. She's going to be reciting the alphabet on the Late Show with Stephen Colbert. So prepare your brains.
So my friends at home can't believe I'm getting applause for saying the alphabet, and I'm chuffed about it. So it's Abakuk,
I can't even begin to
process
any of that.
Anyway, so all that being said, wish me luck. I actually think that the ones that are in the story tonight are like a little bit more straightforward than like a lot of Welsh words can be, but I also reserve the right to be imperfect in my pronunciations because it's just not something that I'm having an easy time wrapping my brain around. So without further ado, let's dive in. Wales has a long and interesting history filled with its own lore and legends. But even apart from King Arthur and the ancient Celtic gods, the country of Wales is full of interesting tales of war, heartbreak, and death. Today we're going to be discussing some of those stories as we explore Carew Castle, Gwydir Castle, Margam Castle, Nantios Mansion, and this is the hard one, Bodolwyddin Castle. I don't even think that's not right. It's at the end, I'm not going to worry about it for now. So, Gerald de Windsor, a Norman colonizer, received land as part of the dowry from his marriage to a Welsh princess named Nest. In case you were wondering, yeah, that's Nest, like a bird's nest. Gerald built a fortified palace along the banks of the Carew River in Wales, and over the course of several years, he and Princess Nest had 5 children and continued to build and fortify their defenses. Princess Nest was beautiful, clever, and witty, and had even been the mistress of King Henry I before her marriage to Gerald, and through that relationship, she had the first of many children. 9 years after Gerald and Princess Nest got married, she became reacquainted with her distant cousin, Owain, who she hadn't seen since childhood. Owain was bewitched by her beauty, and one night, under the cover of darkness, he and several accomplices secretly entered Carew Castle. They lit a fire to divert attention, and while the inhabitants of the castle tried to extinguish the flames, Gerald fled with the help of Princess Nest, because he thought that they were there for him. Typical male arrogance.
I know, selfish.
Owain found Nest alone and kidnapped her. I don't know why she didn't just go with her husband. That's not super clear in the story, but here we are. The country was thrown into turmoil after the abduction. King Henry promised swift retribution for Owain, and eventually Owain fled to Ireland, leaving Princess Nest to return to Gerald. Though she was said to have been a willing prisoner the whole time, which I certainly hope is true, because she had 2 children with Owain during her captivity.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, I do hope that was voluntary.
Yes. Yeah, that's perhaps an easier version of the story. Yeah. Several years after her return, Owain and Gerald were forced to fight together in battle. On the same side. They were actually fighting the same people, but they were just together. One day, Owain went out for a solitary horse ride, and Gerald and several men followed stealthily behind him. When he stopped to speak to another soldier, Gerald or one of the other men shot him through the heart and killed him.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. That is some marksmanship, I will
That's
say.
That's true. Regular old Legolas. Just kidding. Nobody is Legolas except Legolas. Gerald died in 1116, and Nest remarried, having at least 1 more child. So what is that now? So she had the illegitimate one with Henry. She had 5 kids with Gerald. She had 2 kids with Owain, and she had at least 1 more kid with her second husband. So 9 kids. I mean, good for her. Well, Godspeed.
I mean, is it?
No, it's not. It's not good for her. Nest eventually died in 1136 at the age of 51. Carew Castle was badly damaged during the English Civil War and left largely uninhabited, but its ruins still remain there today. People still say that they see a white lady walking the halls of the castle or staring out of one of the upper windows as though she still keeps watch over her land, and that woman is said to be Princess Nest. There's also an additional really weird haunting story that I'm going to briefly summarize because I didn't feel like writing about it because it was so fucking weird that I was like, no, I don't even know how one writes that. So a few centuries later, this other guy has a hold of he's like purchased the estate, and his oldest son tells him that he's fallen in love with a merchant's daughter, which was way beneath him. So his dad tells him to get out and to be away with him. And so the son was like, okay. And he married this merchant's daughter, and it was all well and good for them. But the dad was still really, really mad. And so when the merchant himself came to ask him for like a break on rent or something like that, the man just had his monkey, because he had a pet monkey, he had him attack the merchant. And then later that same night, the servants heard terrible sounds of agony coming from the man's room. And both the monkey and the man were dead on the floor. And that's the story. And now people say that they hear the sounds of a monkey making monkey noises or see the apparition of a monkey in the castle. And this is why I didn't write it down.
I don't even know what to say to this. If you had brought up the monkey, I for sure would have been like, how does that relate to anything? And I still don't even know how the monkey relates to anything, because you just have a monkey out here helping you out and got axed with you. Like,
I don't know. Like, they killed each other. He was the this is why I was like, you know what? I will try to summarize that, but I'm not going to put a lot of the effort into making that a coherent story, because I heard it on like an episode of something that I was watching for this script, and it was barely coherent then because the story is just too fantastical. But it's in like every version. If you ever looked up Cario Castle Haunted, it's going to be in every version. So I wanted to at least mention it. And with that being said, we're going to move on to another place. Our next stop is Gwydir Castle. The name Gwydir traces back to the 7th century and means field of blood. So that is a good place to start. Yep. A simple manor house sat on the land throughout much of the 14th and 15th centuries, but in the year 1500, approximately, the original house was replaced by a much larger, grander mansion. Witness testimony of strange occurrences and paranormal hauntings can be traced as far back as the 1800s, and people still claim that the mansion is haunted today. Judy Corbett and Peter Welford purchased the badly damaged home in 1994. One visitor to the home claimed to see the ghostly apparition of an angry man in Elizabethan clothing pacing back and forth in one of the rooms of the castle. Peter wondered if they could identify the man, so he started exploring old portraits that had been left in the house until they finally found the man that matched the apparition. His name was Sir John Wynne. In 1580, at age 26, Sir John took over as head of the family after his father passed away. He was an ambitious young man, and as time went on, his desire for wealth and power only continued to grow. He was hated by his neighbors, and he made life hell for anyone who opposed him. He was, similarly, awful in his personal life. Sir John had a wife who gave him 11 children. I know. But like many men of the time, he was unfaithful in, like, a real bad way.
Why not? You already have 11 people to, like, further your bloodline.
Yeah, you're done, sir. Put it away.
Put it, apparently.
No one else needs any more. Sir John developed an obsessive interest with one woman in particular, a serving girl who worked on his estate. In some versions of the story, he killed her after their relationship became an inconvenience to him. In other versions of the story, he accidentally murdered her during a violent struggle, but the outcome of this assault is always the same. Once the girl was dead, Sir John placed her body in the empty recess of a wall and bricked her up inside the building.
How you get haunted, yes, man. Yes,
it is how you get haunted. That's exactly correct. It's said that the smell of decay grew and grew in the weeks and months after her death. Even today, people claim that one particular area of the house still smells like decay and death. Ew. Surprisingly, Sir John confessed to the murder as he lay in his deathbed at the age of 73. Family and friends assumed that these were just the ravings of a dying man, but years later, a skeleton was discovered, bricked up into the walls of the castle. People claim to see a lady dressed in white or gray in the north wing of Gwydir Castle, and her presence is always accompanied by the horrible smell of decomposition.
Ew, ew, ew.
So, if you're super ass blasted that she has to wander around like some stinky skeleton while Sir John just got let off the hook, don't worry. Locals say that Sir John's spirit remains trapped in the nearby waterfall, quote, forever to be purged, purified, and spat upon by the water for the evil deeds committed by him in the days of his nature, unquote. So.
Wow.
I know. No. I'm all right with it. Feels appropriate. I would be.
That felt.
Deep. Yeah. I would be so annoyed. You know, because the thing is like, if I come back as a ghost, I want to be like some cool Like, I'm probably going to wear something interesting. I don't know if I would wear white or black or, like, what color scheme I'd be going with. But you know what I wouldn't want to do? I wouldn't want to smell like decomposition every time somebody saw me. No. That would really piss me off. I'd be like, just adding insult to injury, the injury being death and all the stink. I would be so annoyed about that. All right. Markham Castle was built between 1830 and 1840 by Christopher Talbot, one of the founding fathers of the town of Port Talbot. Believe it or not. Christopher eventually died at the castle in 1890, and the estate passed to his daughter, Emily, who made several improvements to the house, like heating, plumbing, and a billiards room.
Hold on. Emily got the estate?
We are getting closer to, like, the age of rights for women, because he didn't die until 1890. So we are rapidly approaching the 1900s okay. when, like, women could okay. inherit. Yes.
Yeah.
Wasn't it last week that you made us? Yeah, it yeah. was. Yeah. That's what I thought. That's really funny. Emily passed away in her room of the castle in 1918. Since she never married or had any children, the estate then passed to a distant relative, Captain Andrew Fletcher, which is, by the way, I know okay. everything about his name sounds super cool. Captain Andrew Fletcher. He sounds like a character from, like, a Captain America 10 out of 10 movie.
Would be.
Yes. Oh. No, absolutely. Like, 100%. Don't need to know what he looks like. Yeah. No, I'm mm-hmm. sold.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
He is absolutely, like, friends with Captain America in the first movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I don't even need to think about it. I'm done. He's probably hideously yeah. disgusting. But I don't know. Markham Castle hosted British and American troops during World War II, and rumors of hauntings really started to take off after this. In 1942, the house was purchased by Sir David Evans Bevan, but by...
Bevan? What a nerd.
Evans Bevan. Sir David Evans Bevan.
No! Mm-hmm. I guess his first name's David, so... That's what he goes
yeah,
by.
Yeah, I hope that he goes Much by better. Dave. Yeah. And if he just, like, introduces himself as, like, hey, I'm David Bevan, then it's not really, that's fine. I don't that's think fine. Anything of Bevan.
But Evans
Bevan? Evans Bevan is really the true crime here. Yeah.
Bevan is just such a ridiculous name.
I don't mind it. Like, if somebody introduced themselves to me, I wouldn't think anything of it. It's really the Evans Bevan for me that I can't handle. Bevan as a last I wouldn't think anything of it.
I think there's a character on One Tree Hill that is referred to as Bevan, and it was just always ridiculous to me.
Oh, yeah, as a first name? Yeah, well, mm-hmm. it's not a first name. No, it's a last name. No, it's more acceptable as a last name than a first name. His first name is David, which is an acceptable first name. That's crazy. By 1974, the structure was By 1974, the structure was badly damaged and decayed. The county council took over the estate with the intention of returning the building to its former glory, but fate intervened again in 1977 when a fire gutted the interior. Fortunately, this didn't halt the restoration project for very long, and today you can visit the home and the grounds of Markham County Park, which I absolutely would if I was in Wales, which I have been to Wales. I do not remember much of it. I remember rain, which is actually most of what I remember from the UK in general when we lived there. I was six, and I remember rain and castles and heights. That's all I remember. In 1898, 39-year-old Robert Scott, the gamekeeper for the estate, noticed a poacher on the grounds. He chased the poacher for a while, but the poacher looked back, aimed his rifle, and shot. The bullet hit Robert in the face, breaking his bones and dislocating his jaw, but the shot didn't kill him. So the poacher walked back, shooting Robert in the shoulder, leaving him to die alone on the grounds. Robert can be seen going up the Gothic staircase in the castle, and paranormal investigators who have encountered him say that his spirit seems restless and angry. Never a good sign. You don't want restless, angry spirits.
No, no.
The sound of children giggling can be heard in the rooms and hallways of the castle. I knew. Even before I said it, I was already smiling because I knew that you were going to hate it. Yeah.
I have never felt my grimace get so low on my face.
It was impressive. Yep. Some people have also seen children dressed in Victorian-era clothing, moving objects, or running between rooms.
Nope. Children in period clothing?
It's pretty, yeah, pretty.
Because children back then were creepy alive.
I think.
Victorian children alive?
I've
seen movies.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like all, like, spooky children are, like, some kind of Victorian-era children. Yeah. Imagine like an Elizabethan era child with a ruff on its neck.
Ridiculous.
I don't know if that would be more scary or ridiculous, because like on Pennywise the Clown, terrifying. So there's a possibility for scariness in a ruff.
Much different context. Yep. Changed my mind.
Yeah.
And they probably had the like white powder because sunlight is like the devil to them.
Yes.
So they're even ghostlier.
Oh, see now. And they all had smallpox too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're getting into some spooky stuff. I'm convinced now. I think Elizabethan children might be spookier.
Yeah.
They just haven't highlighted that in movies because it's too terrifying. I'm just kidding. That's not why. A woman.
It's the accent.
Yeah, probably. A woman is sometimes seen on the grounds, and the caretakers call her Lady Charlotte. So here's the thing. I don't know who Lady Charlotte is. I've looked it up. I was like, who is Lady Charlotte from Gwydir Castle? And if you remember Emily from earlier, her middle name is Charlotte. So I'm a little bit confused. I don't know if she went by Charlotte. I don't know which one she prefers. So I'm just using them interchangeably. She can identify however she wants. You know, that's how it works. At least Charlotte is actually her middle name instead of like we've talked about before where it's like, hello, my name is Margaret, but I go by Sandra. What? Where did you get that from?
Where?
Anyway, it's fine. There is also a chapter house on the property. And a chapter house is like a religious meeting place. And guests and investigators have reported seeing monks, just apparitions of monks floating around the place. And
monks?
Yes, like...
Like with the brown robes?
Yeah, have you seen...
Oh.
That's me singing like a...
Like a monk.
Yeah, like a... Hymn. Yes, exactly, like a hymn. Mm-hmm. Yes. And... People have also said that they have communicated with the spirit who identifies himself as Brother Tom. I don't think there's anything wrong with Brother Tom. That's just his name. Ghost Hunters International visited the castle in one of their earliest episodes. They caught two EVPs near the chapter house. When they asked the spirits to tell them their names, they caught a voice that seemed to say Tom, which no, that's not what it sounded like to me. But that's fine. It sounded like, as it usually does. And earlier in the evening, they heard a woman's voice say, help me, which was very faint. So I have no opinion on that, except that it was very faint. They also got a photo of a misty figure near the chapter house during the day before they began their investigation. This could be the figure of Lady Emily / Charlotte, who is often seen walking the grounds. Throughout the castle, visitors can see shadow figures, doors closing on their own, and hear strange and unexplained noises. The Nantios Mansion sits on the bones of a much older and smaller house. The Nantios estate used to span 33,000 acres, making it one of the biggest estates in all of Wales, as one would expect at 33,000 acres. The Powell family began building their new home in 1739, but unfortunately, Thomas Powell, who had first ordered the build, died before the building was complete, which I imagine was a common issue back then, since it used to take years to build houses, especially when they're that big. The estate then passed to his brother, Reverend William Powell, and the house was eventually completed in 1752. The home remained with the Powell family for 180 years until 1951, when Margaret Powell, the last remaining member of the Powell family, passed away. After that, the estate passed from buyer to buyer as each one realized that the repairs were too costly. Eventually, another family purchased the estate and began a multi-million dollar restoration project. Nantios Mansion continues to be restored, but as of 2012, the house and garden are open to the public, and the Nantios Mansion is now known as the Nantios Mansion Country House Hotel, which is a very long name.
Fancy, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind staying there. I would like to, I stay in all the haunted places. Maybe not all, but most. The Nantios Estate has earned its fair share of lore and legend throughout the years. Some say that the Holy Grail was taken to Nantios by seven monks who were responsible for its safekeeping. One by one, those monks died from battle or from old age, and each of them are said to be buried where the house now stands. Once upon a time, there were two blacked-out windows on the west side of the mansion, one on the ground floor and one on the second floor. One of the Powell wives and a Powell daughter stayed up late awaiting Mr. Powell's safe return from a long trip. As they each gazed out of their own bedroom windows, they saw Mr. Powell heading up the driveway on his horse. Suddenly, a fox bolted across the road, startling the horse and causing Mr. Powell to fall back and break his neck. He died immediately. Ever since then, when the family spots a fox on the lawn staring up at the house, they know that another Powell will soon die.
Oh, ew.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love foxes. They're very special.
That's rude to taunt them.
Yeah. I will say that, like, if I caught any, like, wild animal just, like, sitting on my front step and being, like, staring at my house, I would always assume...
Befriend it.
No, I would always assume that something bad was coming. I'd be like, they know something I don't. Why are you being so weird?
That's how I feel about crows. Like, if I just randomly hear a crow, caw-caw, as I'm getting into the car, I'm like, is this the day that I...
Is this the day that the birds from the birds happens? Have you seen that movie? The Alfred Hitchcock
movie? The birds?
Yeah.
The actual? No.
Yeah.
I have seen...
The crows have eyes.
The crows have eyes.
The crows have eyes. Which one is it? Three?
Two?
Two or three? Yeah. Two, the crowing. Anyway, moving on. In 1899, David Rowlands drowned in the lake on the estate. Some say that they see the figure of a man waving his arms around as though trying to shake the cold water from his body. Black shadows are sometimes seen on the inner staircase, and strange sounds emanate from the stable yard. Some hear the sounds of an argument. Other people hear the sound of a baby crying. Don't like that. Mm-hmm. Another grimace. Horse handlers report that horses will sometimes become nervous over something that they can't see or hear, which, to be honest, sounds like normal horse shit to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, because horses are...
Be horsing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They be horsing around. Visitors report hearing the sound of a harp playing in and around the house and in the woods near the house, which is even worse because harps are not supposed to be outside like that. So what is the most eerie, ghostly instrument that you can imagine? Besides an organ, I feel like that's too obvious.
I was going to say something like the flute, which was my like immediate instinctive reaction, and I don't know why, but thinking back on it.
I feel like a harp is so peaceful, like maybe it wouldn't be as terrible as some of the other ones. Piano, no.
It's cliche. Yeah.
Drums, just annoying. Honestly, get the fuck out of here. I
was thinking like guitar, but I was like, that's also kind of peaceful.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about that. A didgeridoo, perhaps?
I
Yeah, I mean, actually, though, if you did hear a didgeridoo, that would be so terrifying. I'd be like, a didgeridoo out of context, even like without ghostly shit.
Bagpipes? Oh.
I mean, there's got to be some place in Scotland that has haunted bagpipe sounds, right?
It has to be.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure of it. Yeah. No, well, I think that's that. We figured it out. Bagpipes and didgeridoos. Mm-hmm. That's the spookiest instrument you can hear besides an organ. Oh, yucko. I forgot about this. The ghostly figure of a man can sometimes be seen standing near some shrubs near the kitchen entrance. Many people believe that this is the spirit of William Griffiths, a groom who was killed with a garden rake by the head gardener in October of 1782.
What?
Yeah.
The drama that must have been behind it. Also, stop lurking in the bushes.
Yeah, please, Will, get out of the bushes. Don't be...
Like, be a normal ghost and, like, follow people to their rooms.
That's probably why the head gardener murdered you. He was like, creeper! He didn't even know it was you. He was just like, somebody's being spooky in the bushes. Creeper. He's probably a very nice person. The most famous ghost in the Nantios Mansion is the Grey Lady, who many believe to be Elizabeth Powell. Elizabeth was married to Reverend William Powell, who was the guy from earlier in the story who inherited the estate from his brother after he died. In some versions of the story, William loved his wife and showered her with lavish gifts and fine jewelry. As she lay on her deathbed, she realized that she couldn't stand the thought of her jewelry ending up in the hands of someone who wouldn't appreciate it like she did. So she mustered all her strength to stand up and hid the jewels when no one was looking. In another version of the story, Elizabeth and William actually had a really terrible marriage. So she hid her jewelry from her husband, maybe in the hopes that she could like use it to pay for a life of freedom someday. Mm. But no matter which version you believe, in both versions, Elizabeth died without ever revealing the location of her jewelry. Now she haunts the halls of the mansion as a restless spirit dressed in gray, searching in vain for her missing jewels.
Sounds like a terrible reason to stay on Earth.
Yeah, it really does. It's like that one bitch from Bly Manor who was like, but my clothes are still here. I have to make sure my daughter gets my clothes. It's basically the whole plot. If you haven't seen it yet, listen. It's been out for years.
Get on
it. Just go watch it.
It's really good.
Yeah. Ghost Hunters International visited the estate in one of their earliest episodes. At the top of the stairs near Elizabeth's bedroom, one of the investigators felt a sudden drop in temperature followed immediately by the sound of an EVP that said, help me. Okay.
Every time.
Here's the thing. Normally, as you know, I just think that EVPs sound like, bah! This one actually, like... I was not looking at the screen when they replayed it, and I was like, oh, that sounds like help me. Like, it was crystal clear. One of the clearest I've ever heard. So, we can agree to agree on this one, Ghost Hunters International. When one of the other investigators asked Elizabeth if she was upset that her jewelry was still lost, they caught an EVP that said yes, which, in all fairness, no. That's not what happened.
Get a hobby. Oh.
No. True, though. Get out, Elizabeth. Go to where you're going to go.
Go touch grass.
Go talk to Denise, the receptionist. Have you seen that? I will be sending you a video after this. A couple of investigators saw shadow figures in the basement and heard crying near Elizabeth's bedroom.
Ooh, crying.
Yeah, crying is a no-go for me in life. I am deeply uncomfortable with other people crying in front of me or crying myself because I just don't know what to do about it. Many people have had personal experiences with strange and unexplained occurrences in the Nantios Mansion dating back centuries. In the 1800s, Mary, a young nursery maid, was sleeping in the dressing room just off the pink room, which was like one of the bedrooms. And Mary said that she awoke one night to find a figure leaning over her bed. Mary screamed and the figure stood upright suddenly and walked through the closed door.
Ew, ew, ew. Wait, leaning over.
It was like leaning over her bed. She screamed. It snapped like upright turned around, and then walked through the closed door.
Ew.
Yeah. I mean, probably sleep paralysis. Can you scream when you have sleep paralysis?
I could not.
Because this is something I've always wondered in the stories where it's like, I screamed. No. So, interesting. Okay.
I could. I could do like eye movement. I think I could barely lift my head to like look at my feet. And that's when Sinister from Sinister was staring at me at my foot of my bed.
Yeah. Ew. Ugh. Anyway. Yeah. I really don't like that. Sometimes I think, I don't actually know if I've ever described this on the podcast before. So my dog A's, he's a special boy. And sometimes if he hasn't done this for a while, cause he's kind of old now, but when he was younger and he was a young man, he would sometimes, just decide that something hadn't happened in the day or something like that, that he liked. And so he would wake up and he would sit on the bed by my feet and just stare at me until I awoke. And I just saw this dog sitting there by my feet, staring at me.
The grim.
Yeah, just being a total creeper. And I thought when I first got him and I noticed this little pattern that he had, I was like, oh, he needs to go out. He needs something. He needs water. He needs a... No. He's just a weirdo, which is something I'm very much aware of now that I've had him for 8 years. He is also, he used to stare at the ceiling like a lot. So, you know, he just had a lot of really fun idiosyncrasies, but that freaked me out. And I don't think that A's wanted to eat me. He might have actually, that doesn't feel wrong, but, I would really hate it if it was something I didn't know what it was that was leaning over my bed.
Ugh, yeah.
God.
No.
A similar event seemed to happen during a house party in the 1920s. A guest ran from the room in the middle of the night saying that she would never go back into the room again, though she never explained why, probably because she was afraid people wouldn't believe her. Our last stop today is... Okay, so... Bodil... Widthen Castle. I'm going to look it up. I can't. I just heard somebody who's Welsh actually say it, and I don't think I can make those noises with my mouth. So I'm going to do my best. Our last stop today is Bodil Widthen. Yep. In 1460, the Humphreys family built a large fortified manor on the land where the castle now sits. The manor stayed with the family for over 200 years before it was purchased by Sir William Williams in 1690. I don't know why they did that to people ever.
They are also ridiculous. Yeah.
The original mansion remained until Sir John Hay Williams completed the rebuild of the house in 1830. The interior was updated to reflect the Victorian Gothic style that was very fashionable at that time. Unfortunately for the Williams family, these updates were very expensive and the family could no longer maintain the cost of their estate and their lifestyles. So they were forced to sell large portions of their lands. In World War I, the castle served as a hospital and the grounds were used by the British military to teach troops how to handle trench warfare. So if you visit the site today, you can actually see that they have dug trenches. So it's a little bumpy out there. Yeah.
Holy moly.
I know. When the war was over, the Williams family sold the estate to Lowther College, who established a girls' school, which was like a women's college, and it remained as a women's college until 1982. When the college was forced to close down, the county in which it resides, the Clwyd County, that's not how you say it, Clwyd, that's fine. The council purchased the estate with the intention of turning it into an art gallery and museum. Unfortunately, the castle and estate were put up for sale once again in 2019 due to financial pressures. And to this day, the building remains closed, though part of the building that exists is a luxury hotel, and it's still operational as far as I can tell. There are a lot of haunted things in this building, so I'm just going to start by listing a few. In the billiards room, one man said that he had a strong sense that someone was standing behind him and yelling at him, but he couldn't actually hear anything. But somehow I know exactly what that would feel like. I don't know.
Like the just aggression.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. Visitors report seeing gray figures out of the corner of their eye, but when they turn to look, no one is there. Other visitors hear footsteps on the staircase, and there seems to be a male presence in the sculpture gallery who really doesn't like women. What a dick. At some point, before people were thinking about hauntings, apparently, someone found, this is wild, someone found human bones hidden in one of the chimneys. They decided to rebury the bones, as you would, but instead of putting them in the ground, like normal people, they decided to put them in the wall again.
My gosh.
Behind the sculpture of a figure who has been dubbed the Long Man. He,
ew,
I know.
Slender Man?
That's what I thought of too. I was like, the Long Man. Is it Slender Man? I don't like that he's called that. He is fairly creepy looking from the outside as well. So I'm just going to see if I can find a picture real fast. I found one earlier. Okay, I found him, and now I'm going to show you what he looks like. And there he is.
Ew.
The man, the myth, the legend. Yeah. So they were like, we found bones, and we want to obviously pay them the respect due to them. So we'll just rebury them again in the castle behind this spooky-ass statue. Which is also near a bedroom, by the way. So that's fun for whoever gets to sleep there. Oopsie. Also, nobody knows who or what the Long Man is, but he's there. So that's what we do know. Mm-hmm. When the building still served as a museum, there was often a great deal of activity reported in the toys and games room, as there would be. The Williams family had two daughters who drowned in an ice skating accident. Some people claimed to see the two little girls dripping with water, staring out of the windows into the courtyard below. Others report feeling an oppressive, heavy atmosphere, like someone is watching you. Ghost Hunters International visited the castle for one of their episodes. They caught a number of interesting EVPs throughout the castle. When Brandy and another investigator were checking out the sculpture gallery, she was speaking to the spirits, trying to get reaction out of them. Because remember, that's the one who doesn't like the ladies. That's where he lives.
Oh, yeah.
A thermal camera was pointed at her the whole time, and twice, everything around her flashed to black, while she still remained illuminated as usual. They also caught strange knocking sounds that seemed to be coming from the floor in the toys and games room. And the next morning, they met with one of the staff from the museum, and he asked them if they had accidentally entered a certain part of the castle that they had intended to keep locked. The team was confused since none of them had been there the night before, and the staff person said that he wasn't surprised. He just wanted to double check because one of the displays in their pottery gallery had been knocked over in the middle of the night. The pottery shared a stand with several other pieces, and all of them had museum putty placed to help keep them upright, but only one of the pottery pieces had been knocked over, although he did decapitate somebody on his way down. Whoopsie. There was no wind in the room, and the floor seemed solid. Video footage revealed that no one was in or near the room when the pottery fell. It was actually...
It's a mystery.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Or it's a ghost. A ghostly mystery. Anyway, so that is Haunted Wales. And I didn't have to pronounce too many things, which was good because that would have been very traumatizing to me.
I would have liked it if you did try to pronounce that last one because I think it would have been hilarious.
I did try to pronounce it. It was my... It's when I said Cluiden.
I thought you sneezed.
Yeah, that's my best approximation, which is why I think it's less offensive if I just don't try at all sometimes. Sometimes not trying is the less offensive option.
I would very much like to understand, not learn, but just understand their alphabet. Because, like, it seems very short and very, like, sound heavy.
It's very sound heavy, yes.
And I really want to know what four L's is supposed to sound like.
Phonetically, yeah. It's wild. We actually have, I don't remember, I think we have, like, a book of, like, the Welsh language that we got while we were in the UK. And it is wild to be like, oh, I was not going to guess anything even close to that when I looked at those letters in that order. No, nope, that's not where I thought this was going.
I would like to hear just like a casual conversation between two Welsh people.
That would be pretty cool.
Like some Welsh gossip.
That would be lovely. Yeah, I mean, I love to hear gossip even, like, when I don't understand the language, just in general. Yeah. Anyway, so that is Wales. I think that there's probably a lot more to explore in Wales, and we will hopefully return there again in the future. But for now, I don't know what I'm going to do for the next paranormal episode. It's always a mystery to me until, like, the day before. So, yeah.
Europe really likes their white and gray ladies.
Yeah.
I guess so does America, but.
I think so too. I don't know. I think it's.
But they never label them like that. Like, they're always like dressed in white, but they're never like referred to as like.
The gray lady. Or yeah. Like the white lady. Well, because she doesn't want to be a Karen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can't do that here in America.
Yeah, because there's.
The white lady.
There's a certain connotation there. Yeah. I don't think that's what it is. I don't actually know what it is. I think that maybe like there's just like an association with like a certain elegance of the gray lady or the white lady or the lady in white, as opposed to the United States where it's like there's no elegance involved. It's just a spooky ass ghost. Yeah. Anywho, next week we will be back with a true crime case. And until next time, bye.
Goodbye.
If you liked the show, please leave us a great review and don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Wicked Within Podcast.